Well, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas, Loanne. Thanks for leading the charge there. If I have not met you yet, my name is Andrew, and I'm so glad that you're here with us tonight as we celebrate and we remember that Jesus has come, the light of the world. Each December, we come the day before Christmas, and we remember. We remember when hope seemed hopeless, when the dark seemed to be dominating, when despair seemed to be what all things were destined for. And we remember that light came into the world and his light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The story that we tell each year is of shepherds watching their sheep in fields nearby, a star shining in the sky, a young girl giving birth to a baby boy who would change everything. And when we step back, the story seems absurd on so many levels, and yet it is the exact story that we need now more than ever. The moment in history when everything was turned upside down, when a manger became the throne of a king, when the outcasts were the first to hear the good news, when hope broke into humanity and God made his home among us and light overcame dark. One of Jesus' followers, John, would say it so well. He said, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So why do we return to the birth of Jesus this particular moment year after year? Well, it was many years ago when my oldest son was around 4 years old, and he was getting a medical procedure done. And in order to kind of calm him down and prep him for this, they gave him something that made him a little bit loopy. And Rachel and I had a great time talking with him in this state. And so there I was sitting with him in his hospital bed as we were just kind of talking around all sorts of things, when all of a sudden, out of nowhere, he looks around. He says, Dad, where are you? And I look at him, and I'm right next to him, right? I'm in the bed with him, and I get down, and I look in his face, and I said, buddy, I'm right here. He just goes, grabs onto my face, oh, there you are, right? I mean, just high as a kite in this moment, not understanding anything that's going on. But why do I share that story on this particular night? Because life comes at us hard. We forget the light. We succumb to the dark. We win some days, but we feel behind most others. We feel the flurry of passing time. We feel the pain of past and both present regrets. Relationships can feel really brittle, bending and breaking. We can feel homeless in our own homes. We can feel the weight of our worries and the weariness of our souls. And we can find ourselves asking the question, God, where are you? And Christmas reminds us that he's right here. That he's right here and he sees us. He's with us and he's for us. His light has come, and Christmas reminds us to stop, to remember, to reorient towards the light and remember, oh, there you are, God. You haven't gone anywhere. See, this is why we need Christmas. We need to remember that God and his great love sent his one and only son. We need to remember that Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, has come. That light has come. Darkness has not overcome it. And this is not a temporary solution. This is not a singular moment where we join hands like the Who's of Whoville singing around a Christmas tree. This is a never-stopping, never-ending, always-and-forever solution. Jesus has come, and in him we have life and light. The dark is defeated, and hope is always, always, always alive in Jesus. And so we step into this story because it reminds us that even in the darkness of our own lives, that God sees us, that God is with us, and God is for us. And my hope for you as we walk this well-worn path is that once again you would remember that light has come for you, that you would stop and say, oh, there you are, God, because the truth is he has been with you all along. So as we enter into these moments together, I just want to pause and still our hearts and still our souls as we come before him. I know some of you in here, you have a to-do list that is really barking loud at you right now. Some of you are in charge of the meal that comes after this, and you're thinking of all those different things. I get it. But for this one moment, let's just engage right here, right now, right where we are, and use this time that's already been allotted. Everyone's here anyway. And let's see what God has to say to each and every one of us. So you pray with me. Father, we thank you that you have come. We thank you that you stepped into the mess of humanity, that you did not abandon us, you did not sit idly by, but you saw our great need, and you entered in, and you showed us life and all that is possible with a relationship in you. And so, Lord, I pray in these moments as we walk this well-worn path to the nativity that you would remind us again that you see us, that you are with us, and you are for us. So, Lord, help us to pay attention to what it is that you want to speak to us in these moments. We love you when we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to turn to Luke chapter 2, and it'll be up on the screen. If you want to follow along in a Bible, there's a Bible in front of you in that seat back pocket that you can pull from. And we're going to walk a story that was important long before the Charlie Brown Christmas special ever made it important. But I'm just going to read through these first 14 verses from the Gospel of Luke. And beginning in verse 1, it says, "In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up to Galilee from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you, and you will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased.'" See, we come to this story and we read through this, but the absurdity of what is happening here has become all too familiar to us. Because what is being told to us in this moment is that the creator and king of all things was being born in the small, cramped confines of a feeding trough. The very maker who brought all things into existence is breaking into his creation to restore the rupture of brokenness and to point us to the beauty of life in him. And what I love is the first to hear this good news were those who were considered outsiders and less than. See, we often come to the nativity scene with visions of shepherds with their cuddly sheep, and we think they're so cute and wonderful, and we move them around in the nativity, and yet shepherds in the day of Jesus were anything but cute and cuddly. They were seen as unclean. They were seen as unsafe. And yet they're the ones to first hear this good news. Have you ever had a moment in your life where you've felt passed over, where someone just kind of looked through you and beyond you, that feeling of being unseen, uncared for, unloved, wondering if anyone actually sees you, and in a room full of people, you can still feel utterly alone? See, through this historical moment, God is speaking and showing us and letting us know that even in our own darkness, our own pain, our own sorrow, our own loss, our own loneliness, even in our triumphs and in our joy, he sees us because God sees us. Notice even the message to the shepherds in this moment that they are met with what they needed to hear most. Their reaction was deep fear. And what are they immediately told? Fear not. Because in this moment, they had all sorts of fear of being undone, being cast out, being left out, not understanding what was happening. And when we face the darkness of our own lives, it's like walking in a fog. We can begin to feel is that no one really sees us. No one really knows us. No one truly understands what's going on in our lives or what we're going through or what we're carrying, what we're experiencing, what's causing us to spiral. But see, God in his great love does not allow us to continue in darkness because he sees us. He sees what you're carrying. He sees what you're walking through. He sees what's causing you to feel out of control. He sees all of that. And he still wants us. I mean, just let that settle in for a second, that he sees all of who you are. Faults and flaws, sin and shame, all of that stuff. The good, the great, the way he's crafted you. He sees all of that together and he still comes in pursuit of you. So God sees us. But not only does he see us, he is with us. God is with us. I don't know if you've ever experienced this. It's one thing for someone to see you, but it's another thing to have your experiences validated. To have someone listen to you and understand you. To have someone who comes and sits with you in your joy and in your pain. Who walks alongside you in your triumphs and your failures. See, this is what John was getting after when he said, the word became flesh and dwelt among us. Now, I know for a brief moment, you're like, we were talking about the light of the world. Now, who's the word? It's another name, title for Jesus. And in Hebrew thought and in Greek thought, this word, the word, is pregnant with meaning. In the Jewish culture, the word of God was his creative action that he called forth, creating all things. In the Greek mindset, it reflected the reason of God, that which held all things together. And so what we read here is that the very one who created and made all things, the reason that all things hold together and in whom all things hold together, joins us in our mess. He doesn't run from us. He sees you for who you are, and he steps forward, not away from you. Because God sees us, God is with us, and God is for us. Now, this is the part I really don't want you to miss. John 3:16 tells us this. It says, for God so loved the world, he gave his only son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. But it doesn't just stop there. Usually we stop there. It continues on. Verse 17, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. See, he sees us. He sees all that we're walking through. He steps into the mess of humanity, but he has more for us. He's come to pioneer a pathway that we could never experience on our own. He's come to rescue us in our sin and our sorrow and shame. He came to bring light into the darkness that his love may shine both in us and through us. And this gift is one we merely have to receive, to trust him and believe in who he is. This is why John also says, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. He pulls us into his family when we say yes to him. This is the good news of great joy that is for all people. Good news of great joy for you and for me and for each and every one of us in this room. Because light has come and God sees you. God is with you. and God is for you. See, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot and has not overcome it. And this light is not some abstract idea. This light is the light of life. This light is Jesus. Jesus has come that we may find light and life in him. And where there is darkness, the light of Jesus overcomes. Where there is despair, the hope of Jesus overcomes. Where do you need to let his light shine? Where do you need to remember, oh, there you are, and allow him to step into the mess of your life and find true life in him? Where do you need to invite Jesus in? What could this next year look like if you allow his light to shine in you and through you? See, the light has come, and darkness, it does not win. Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus, he sees us. He's with you. He's for you. So this Christmas, wherever you find yourself, whatever season you are walking in and through, may you look into the face of God's great love and remember, oh, there you are. You've got me. You see me. You're with me. You're for me. Step into his light and begin to truly live. Will you pray with me? Father, as we remember, we thank you that in your great love you came, that you did not abandon us, that you saw our brokenness and you provided a path forward, a way through, that you truly are the light of the world that shines and that cannot be overcome. You tell us that all who walk in your light will no longer walk in darkness. And so, Father, help us to receive that truth here and now. Where we have been looking to other things, would you help us to turn back, to repent and turn towards you, to hand all of who we are over to you and trusting ourselves in your good and gracious and merciful hands. Lord, we thank you that you who are King and Creator of all things, lowered yourself to serve us, to sacrifice for us, that in you we may truly live. We thank you that in you light has come and the dark has not overcome it. We pray all of this and rejoice in all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus said, I am the light of the world, and all who follow in me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Light has come, the darkness does not win or overcome it. And so in these moments, as we pause and we rest and we pass this flame between one another, would you remember that Jesus has come, that he sees you, that he is with you, that he is for you, and that in him, life is possible. So would you stand with me as we share these flames and rest in his love?
Calm, all is bright.
Just take a moment and look around. Light has come. The darkness has not overcome it. Jesus has come that we may have light and life in him. May you rest in this truth. May you rest in his love that he has come for you. Because he sees you. He's with you. He's for you. May you find peace in the light of the world this season. Let's extinguish our candles together. This is my favorite time every year to see who's going to be the last one. Because there's always holdouts. There's a small fire over to my right. Going strong. Going strong. Oh. Well, we are so glad that you joined with us to celebrate that Jesus has come. And I hope that as you continue in your celebrations throughout this evening and in tomorrow, that you remember the goodness of our King and Creator that's come for you. On your way out, We've got a couple things for you. And I'm just going to tell you, we had a mad rush for the candy canes first service. So it's going to be first come, first serve if you want a candy cane. And you may want to dart back to the lobby to ensure that you get one of those. We'd love to get one of those in your hands, but we'd also love to get you one of these invitations. And these are just simply a reminder that this Sunday, we're going to have one service all together at 10:30. We're going to take some time to remember and reflect on the year that was as we look towards the year that will be. But also, as we've talked around who Jesus is, you may have some questions. You may want to know more about who he is. And so I'd encourage you on that invite. There's a link there that you can follow to find out more about who Jesus is. But if you want to read more about who Jesus is, we also have these Gospel of Johns, just a simple biography of Jesus' life and the way in which he lived and invites us into life with him. And you can grab one of those in the lobby on your way out. But as you leave from here today, may you know that light has come, that Jesus sees you, he's with you, he's for you. May you experience his love, may you rest in his love, and may you know his grace and walk in his peace. God bless you, and from all of us here at Crossroads, Merry Christmas.